Psalm 130, again, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Jehovah, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for Jehovah. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in Jehovah, for with Jehovah there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now this psalm is interesting. Again, it continues in the Psalms of Ascents, but here it's a more quiet and reflective psalm, more in the tone of last week's psalm, but without the looking at the evil ones, but looking at the evil within ourselves, considering ourselves as ones who at one time were opposed to Jehovah, at one time stood against him. And now, after conversion, the crying out to him, looking for redemption. I messed up in the first line, but I was, through the rest of the psalm, you may have noticed, sometimes I said Jehovah, and sometimes I said Lord. Both terms are used, and it's rare in the psalms that you see this. When you do, it's usually for a reason. Psalm 110, of course, is the cardinal example of how this is used to effectively show the difference, well, not the difference, but effectively show the Trinity within, in the Old Testament, looking at God and his persons. In the first line, it says, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Jehovah, or O Yahweh, calling on the covenant name of the Lord. And then the next line, it says, Adonai, or Lord, Master, hear my cry. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Now, we don't, when we ask God to listen to us, it's not that he wasn't listening, we have to get his attention. Those of you who are familiar with the priests of Baal at Mount Carmel, there with Elijah, how they had to scream and holler and beat drums and light fires and cut themselves to try to get his attention. Our God is not like that. When we call to him to listen, it's as much to put ourselves into the right frame of mind and to show him that we are coming to him in the proper manner. When we say, Adonai, Lord, Master, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my supplications. We're reminding ourselves, as well as calling upon the covenant, reminding ourselves that we're asking. That's one of the funny things when you look at a lot of the modern church. There's not a lot of asking. There's a lot of demanding. There's a lot of telling God what he should be doing, what he owes you. You see it a lot in the prosperity gospel. You see it a lot, well, even in the works righteousness churches. I've done this, God. You owe me now. Or I have faith, so now you must. But these are supplications. These are people who know God owes them nothing when you pray like this. And that's what this first paragraph tells us. If you, Jehovah, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Now, children, when he says, if you should mark iniquities, the way to think about that is if he kept a book, and right there it says, Ruth, oh, there's one for her today. She sinned and keeps score. If God were to mark it down in the book and keep score of when we sin and offend him, who could stand before him ever, is the question the psalmist is asking. And children, this is what's called a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is one that the person who asks it already knows the answer. And the answer, of course, is nobody, because none are righteous. No one through their own acts and righteousness and holiness can stand before God. Nobody has ever, besides Jesus, been holy enough to stand. Now, we hear people again in the modern church tell us that the Jews were saved by their works and we're saved by our faith. Well, this psalm tells the difference, tells it differently. They knew by their book of Psalms that are now our book of Psalms that none could stand before God if God marked sin, if he counted iniquities. I wait for Jehovah. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Now, when we say wait, you can think of a couple different ways of doing it. We have waiting for something to come about that hasn't been accomplished yet, but we know it's going to. We have trust in it. And that's largely what we see the psalmist here saying, the people of Israel doing. They knew that salvation would come through the Messiah. They knew that Jehovah would send their Lord, Jesus, to take care of them, to redeem them from their sins. And they were waiting for it. Waiting as one who watches for the morning. Now, I've heard this said as watchmen watching for the morning, and I think a couple translations put it that way. As I looked through the original language, I didn't necessarily see that. But did you know when you watch for the morning, anybody ever sat up at night waiting for the morning to come? Especially those of us who've worked midnight shift, we know exactly what that's like. Have you ever wondered in fear whether or not the sun would come up? Well, no. You knew it was coming. You knew it would happen. You had total faith that that was going to happen. But it couldn't happen fast enough for you if you went home around dawn. Couldn't happen fast enough, and you were eager to see it. And that's the heart of how these ancient Israelites, these Hebrews, were feeling. They knew it was going to happen. And they were, well, happy for those who would be there to see it when it did come. O Israel, hope in Jehovah. And here's one of the times we see Israel being the nation, the people of God personified, looked at as a person. O Israel, hope in Jehovah, for with the Lord there is mercy. And here again we have that dualism of Jehovah paired with Adonai, the Lord. There is mercy, and with him there is abundant redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. They see it coming. They know it's going to come. They have faith. It says hope. But the word there shows a confident hope, not a desperate hope. One that they knew was going to happen. With Jehovah, there is mercy. Again, no sign of works righteousness, no sign that the blood of bulls and goats they thought could take away sin. But rather, through obedience, they were showing their faith and their belonging to the covenant. And through their obedience, they were part and parcel with the gospel. And those who were saved in those days were saved the same as we are, through Jesus. And that, friends, is why these Psalms are equally good for the church age as they were in those days. Because they were waiting for Jesus and they sung his name. And when we sing this Psalm, when we see Adonai there, we know it's Jesus who came in our time, has come to redeem his people. And as part of Israel, we know that the hope has been accomplished. Redemption has been accomplished. But we hope to see it in our flesh. And during our resurrection, we hope to see complete redemption from sin. And we'll sing Psalm 130 now, and we'll sing the second part, or the second example of it, 130b.